Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk.
We're back.
Boggy's back.
That's right.
Back again. You know, my kids, it's my fault. I accept full responsibility. Have kind of gotten into Eminem lately.
Oh, goodness.
But obviously they have to listen to the clean version.
Right? Version.
So it's basically an instrumental with a little bit of words.
Like these sentences don't make sense. That's because of all the beeps.
Yeah, yeah.
This is true.
Like, they don't beep it. You know, they just don't say it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really is. Like,
that is really funny.
That's funny.
Yeah, I remember. You know, Next Episode by Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that one time and. For real, like the very beginning of the song, like there's like no words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
So we're back.
We're back.
Season six. Here
we
are.
Wow.
Yes. Wow. 6 years we've been doing this.
Yeah. Wow. But for most people, it's the real season two since Kelly's only been on for
one
season.
That's right. They started listening.
I don't know
about that. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, we don't talk great. About those days before Kelly on Boggy Talk.
You guys laid the foundation.
Oh,
so,
right.
You know,
that's right.
Oh, man. You were trailblazers for sure.
There we go.
When it was just the two of us, I had to like, because I do like, you know, kind of my mind wanders a lot. I had to work so hard to like stay, like, I have to pay full attention to everything because. I'm like, but if he asked me a question, I'm like, what'd you say?
Yeah, so, but I'm so dialed in and don't get off topic that it helped you
never,
to stay.
I know. That's why I'm like, you'll like interjection. And I would just be like, I'm still talking and I'm not going to stop talking because I will lose this thought if I stop talking.
Well, and I can see it's like he's not mad. He's just trying so hard not to.
I'm focusing.
I'm just glad I have notes because I'm always like, I'm not sure how. Yeah. I'm
see, we didn't
get
have those before you
thing.
Either, really.
Really?
That's right. Yeah, we're like,
we did
here's
sometimes.
A rough outline. Yeah, let's just go.
Well, so, I appreciate this. Well, we took a break for the summer.
We did.
We had lots going on
we
during
did.
The summer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I figured today we're just going to kind of recap the summer, talk about what went on, like people's personal lives, the world, church, things like that.
Yeah.
And then next week we'll kind of start to dive into our next series, basically.
Yeah.
And that next series will be?
Well.
As for Me and My House,
as
right?
My
we're
going
to talk
yeah,
about.
We're going to talk about As for Me and My House. Yeah. Got to dive in a little bit more to yeah. what we're talking about on Sunday mornings, helping yeah. people flesh that out. So.
Yeah. We got new people listening. Billy Grimes, our 89-year-old church member, is going to start listening to Boggy Talk.
Hey,
I showed
Billy.
Him at his house
hey,
this
Billy.
Morning how to get it up on YouTube.
We so, love you,
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Anyway.
So personal highlights for you guys for the summer.
Go ahead. I mean,
I mean, it kind of overlaps with church highlights, but mm-hmm. leading our high school leaders, it wasn't just high school students, but it's those who are actively serving in the church and or community throughout the year on a mission trip with some great adult volunteers. We had, if you were at prayer night, you heard the story of Alonzo who gave his faith to Christ, mm-hmm. Put his faith in Christ because of mm-hmm. our two of our people there, and so we praise Jesus for that. And yeah, it's just a great trip, great time investing in those students. And then also, I think, you know, I had a couple weeks off for a family mm-hmm. vacation, and Christy had a milestone birthday, and
Ooh,
so
nice.
We took a trip for that. And so that was good. It's good.
Yeah.
Summer's different, you mm-hmm. know, like it's busy, but I do feel like we're kind of together as a family
yeah.
more because
mm-hmm.
You don't have
the
all
evenings,
the sports
for
stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
The, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, and then I just feel like, and we can maybe talk about this more, but I'm just really grateful to be at our church. Mm-hmm. I really am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things that feel like they're beyond our control
they
and that we've got
are.
To fix, mm-hmm. but I'm just grateful that God's doing what he's doing. And even like the growth, like I don't feel, at least for me personally, but I think for most of our staff, like it's not making us like, look at how awesome we are. It's mm-hmm. like, this is just amazing what God's doing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we want to steward this well,
mm-hmm.
And even okay with like if there are people who God sends elsewhere, like we get it, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
like, yeah,
yeah. I think as a staff, it's like we carry that tension of like we really are grateful, but a lot of our personalities are bent towards the and here's all the things we still need to fix
yes.
and address, and so
yes.
we do have to kind of like pocket those for a minute
yeah,
and be
yeah.
like,
yeah.
but in the midst of all these things that we see that need to change
yeah.
and recognizing we can't change them overnight or
yeah.
fix them instantly. God is doing some great things
yeah,
in
yeah.
our church, in this community, through this
yeah.
church, in New York City and
yes.
other countries because of the people of this
yeah.
church. So, I mean, ultimately because
and,
of the
and
Lord,
connected
so.
That on a personal level is I see God working in my children's lives
yeah.
and,
yeah,
you know, and all of them in different ways, and I'm so thankful for our church's partnership in that, and people's partnership in that.
But for sure.
What about you, friend?
I think this summer it's been again different rhythms bring different new things to life, and I think because of the summer.
Is that your blog title?
That was my
different rhythms bring new things to life.
That was my Zynga post.
Do you have a blog?
No. I did.
Did you ever have a blog?
Yeah. It's terrible.
You need to take that up.
No, please, Kelly.
I remember something.
They were all terrible, but
I think because of whether mission trips or camps, Josiah going to orientation, I feel like most of the summer we had a different combination of kids home every week for at least for the month of June and into July, which actually was really nice. Not that our kids weren't there, but because when you take in, because it changes the dynamic.
Yeah, it does.
It gives you a little more margin with each child who is home, and you're able to, you know, when you have six kids and ours, you know, ranging now from age 18 to 9, there's no one activity that we can do that everyone loves really besides eat, and even then someone's complaining about what it is.
That's for sure.
It's nice to be able to say, hey, we can go do this, and it's more one-on-one time, one-on-two time, which is just fun.
And more affordable.
Hey, guys, we can actually eat out tonight because there's only three of you to buy a meal for.
We're an American family tonight.
Yes.
It's not $85 to eat a Chick-fil-A tonight.
Yeah, because our teenagers eat like adults. So
And then they're hungry when they get home.
And then, so it's impossible. So that was super nice, and I think, you know, having three of our teenagers and the Christie go on the New York trip. My mission trip was here that week. It was just doing everything. But also we made the decision for her to go and not me because one, you and Jacob were going and they needed another female, and she's just gifted in that way. And for me, it was just awesome to see her like thrive in that element. Mm-hmm. That's the way so praise God for that. And then last week we did have time away with family, extended family, which was refreshing just to be, toward the end of the summer, I think everybody else got their vacations in early, which it was good that I was here while everyone else was gone. And then I got to be gone and then you, just like everyone's job, you do pay a price when you're gone for a week. You have to catch up, but that's not just me. That's everyone. So
yeah, that's been for sure.
There's literally this week, is so intense in terms of scheduling. But that's okay.
It is okay.
It is okay. And again,
it's okay, Justin.
It is okay. And I'm grateful for getting to be on the support piece, for the Uganda team and getting to go and see what God is doing, be a part of what God is doing, some of the support for New York. It's just exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
what about you?
Kind of similar. I went on a trip very unexpectedly. MPH.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right.
You did. You stepped in the gap.
Yeah, it was actually really, it was tiring, but it was.
I found out you were on that trip because you sent Christy and I a picture. I think we were on vacation. I'm I guess Kelly's
that literally was like the weekend of.
It was just like a couple days before. Yeah. We need another volunteer. And so I volunteered.
Way to set the example for our
Kelly.
Church.
Yeah, it was really good. It was sweet. What I loved about it too was I think I had, they were eighth grade. Was the age, but they are just so like open, and they want to talk about where they are with the Lord and their faith, and they're still trying to figure things out and ask questions. It's just refreshing, because I think adults, not all the time, but sometimes can just kind of,
be crusty.
But we just have walls they're just looking for wisdom. And I don't have much, but I can for an eighth grader. So that's helpful. But it was good. But I was tired and I was very glad to be home. And I don't know if I'll do that again. But, we did it once.
I'm glad you didn't say I'll never, because then the Lord's like, yep, going to happen.
This is true. It was great, though. And then, I got a little bit of time off, too. And my husband's schedule is a little bit better during the summer, so we have Fridays off together, so that's nice. And my daughter went on the New York trip as well.
Loved
it. It was really impactful for her, so it's neat to just be part
Christy
of all
sent
that.
A picture I think to me, and she probably said, I know she sent to y'all too, of Aaliyah on the subway with a towel
yes.
on her hand.
I was next to Aaliyah.
She was like, she is her mother's daughter.
Absolutely. I love it. Absolutely. I was like, Aaliyah, you don't even have to use that. Like, yeah. I was like, you've got all these other tricks and stuff.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah. We've ridden a few subways, but, you know. Yeah. She didn't come back sick, so.
She did.
No, didn't.
No, yeah. Okay.
Because
okay.
She had the paper towel.
Yeah. You know?
That's right. That's took right. care of it.
So quite a few good. Students did, but that's
yeah.
right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, great for personal highlights. I know we kind of mentioned some of the church highlights, but there were a few other.
Yeah.
Summer's busy, actually.
Yeah. Well, I'd say the most recent, you know, the women's conference that you helped coordinate with our women's ministry team, which was great. I literally, before we filmed this, watched the highlight reel that you guys posted. And it's praise God for the fruit from that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, the team, your wife, Christy Ross, had a lot to do with that.
Amazing.
And other ladies on that team. So, yeah, that was great.
That was really,
It's really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
4th of July, that was a great turnout as well. And, you know, I know the youth's been –
between Infuge Camp and summer, Jacob shared with our staff that, you know, they were doing a summer Bible study. He ordered books for them to do, like scripture journals, and they ran out. So, because they just said there were so many students coming to it. So praise
well,
God.
Well, and,
that.
You know, the first week, like, I dropped in, and they were studying the Bible for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, these kids aren't coming back next week.
And
like, in my
back.
Mind,
yeah.
and they kept coming back.
Oh, he had the, like, projector.
I know. It was like,
pencils,
it was really, yeah, it was
know?
A really cool concept for doing that. And he had some of the adult
leaders
leading
teach,
well, too,
yeah.
which was just really great. And they were using the projector and showing them how to underline things. Just a great discipline for them to study the word. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty legit. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And then,
go ahead.
No, I was going to shift if you have something else.
Yeah, a few other things I would say over the summer. You know, we had several different people preach from our staff. And, you know, really, if you go back to May, and so you preach 1 week. Josiah, you know, taught 1 week. And I think Pastor Michael, Pastor Steve, I'm trying to think. Pastor Jacob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just good, you know, to see. And a couple of people kept saying to me, like, man, the bench is deep, you know, at our church. And so it's great to see, you know, I mean, I hope that the church wants me to be the regular teacher, you know, and that God's gifted me in that way. But I think it's great to hear from other leaders who have a different voice, who are in love with the Lord and love with his word.
Absolutely.
And to hear from them. And so I think that was a huge blessing. And then, you know, man, PCS season, we've never, every year we send people out.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually haven't done as much of that this year.
Yeah, it's been a different
time. Haven't had as many move. And then there's a lot of new people.
Yes, they come in Sunday morning.
Lots of new people.
And I mean, I've been here for 3 years, but there's still people that I haven't met. And I'm like, particularly last Sunday, I just thought, what is happening? You know, I don't think I know them. I need to go talk to them. I need to go talk to them.
Just for people to understand, the last two Sundays of July, which typically July is a lower month, been some of our highest Sundays of the year, and
our highest Sundays ever.
Yeah, and comparatively,
250.
I think we've had like it was 200 or over 200 more than this time last year. Both week
almost
average,
250
average
in
out.
One of them. Yeah, yeah.
And then the next week was like 187. So that's crazy year over year for July. So so lots of growth, lots of new people.
So so if you attend the 9:30 and you can attend the 11 or 8,
yes,
I do highly encourage you to do that.
Some room
And then one more thing, we had our kids camp, went to Centric Kid. And that was they had a great experience. And one of our kids, you know, that was the week he, you know, I'm giving my life to Jesus.
Yeah,
so praise God for that, for our kids team and Bayshore Kids Clubs as well too that happened. Just great fruit.
It seems like so long ago. Like
I know, that really does.
But great.
That really kicked off the summer.
Yeah, it did.
You know, so great times.
Yeah.
Great job from our teams leading those.
Yeah, a lot of awesome things to be a part of for sure. So
if we forgot something, it's not personal. It's
just because
it's a crazy time.
I know
right
Legacy
now.
Did something awesome.
That's right.
I'll just throw that out there.
Yes,
they
did. So things going on in the world.
We almost went to war.
Right, I was thinking, like, it was this weird, like,
what do we call this?
Yes,
Iran and Israel. And, it felt out of the blue. It wasn't because we just don't know all the intelligence, you know. But I do know, like, on our end, just as, you know, we had to actually redo airline tickets for our actually thought for a moment our Uganda team wasn't going to be able to travel because their flights were routed through Doha, which is not very far from Iran, and airspace closed. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, we were able to get their flights rerouted through Amsterdam. But we weren't sure if that was going to happen. So mm-hmm. it did change mm-hmm. their plans. And so we're thankful that happened. But yeah, that conflict, yeah.
I think from Doha to Amsterdam was one of your blog titles too.
Google that one.
Yeah, I think it again reminds us of our vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. we were talking about like campaign stuff, right, for our church because mm-hmm. we're trying to, you know, move forward to expand our campus so that we can do more for the kingdom, and we need to communicate that with the church. And we were talking about like these lines we want to use, and I said like we can't use the word securing because like
yeah
we can't secure anything
right
like
yeah.
no
mm-hmm. and I think things like what happened you know in Israel and Iran remind us of that, and I think it should be a reminder to us because we got so involved is that is just ongoing
mm-hmm.
That tension between Israel and Iran and you know pray for believers there who mm-hmm. are trying to live out their faith and mm-hmm. really in both places where they're in the minority.
Right.
And not always welcomed and perceived to be as, you know, positive contributions to their society. Yeah. So just pray for the believers there mm-hmm. and the church there. And pray that God uses the instability as an opportunity for people to see who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So we've had – this was a question, I guess, but in the past – whenever political seasons happen, mm-hmm. things like that, it was kind of this, pastors cannot endorse candidates. They can't.
Yeah, it's against the law.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So is that changing?
Yeah, it has changed. Okay. Yeah, because church in Texas basically appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said that churches can because nonprofits can.
Okay.
But they were saying because we're religious, we couldn't. So now a pastor can endorse a political candidate, and the church is not in jeopardy of losing their tax exempt status.
Wow. Mm.
So that's why Justin was wearing his MAGA hat the very first Sunday afterward. I'm just kidding.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just for clarity, I still don't feel like it's healthy. I feel like if I personally – I mean, I've talked about who I voted mm-hmm. for on Boggy mm-hmm. Talk, but just on a Sunday morning, I'm like, I just don't feel like that's the right thing. Granted, I do think that I'm able to inform with Scripture teaching. We're able to inform with Scripture teaching enough that I believe most mm-hmm. believers will mm-hmm. make a certain choice in any mm-hmm. given year. But I do think when you do that, it becomes not about the Bible, not about the issue, but about the personalities.
Right.
Could there be a time when I'm like, no,
it's
you
so
know,
clear. Yeah.
This guy's literally saying this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just feel like it often gets a little more complicated than just – well, this one seems like the more morally mm-hmm. right choice, you know.
Yeah.
And I want people to make that decision because of conviction.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, there's already so much blurred lines between politics and religion, both for ultra-conservative and ultra-liberal. Like, there's just already so much unhealthiness there.
Yeah.
We want to keep Jesus and the Bible as authority, especially on the Sunday morning gathering.
Right.
I mean, really for the identity of the church. And we don't want our faith to and our practice of what we believe is the Scriptures command us to be, you know, the Scriptures are polarizing enough. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need to add a political layer mm-hmm. on top of that when there's already so much unhealthiness that we feel like we have to help deconstruct to get to what the Bible teaches on both ends of the spectrum. So I think it's just, to me, it's going to probably encourage more tribalism.
Right.
And really, you know.
And, you know, I mean, ultimately it's directed more towards the lead pastor in terms of this issue. So, like, on Boggy Talk last year, I talked about that I was voting for Trump, and I talked mm-hmm. about why I felt that way. I think that's just different than if I'm mm-hmm. just talking as a – like, this is me as a person who is your pastor, if you are a member of our church. On Sunday morning, like, mm-hmm. that's when I should be saying, thus saith the Lord.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Not like, this is
the Lord
this
has
is
not
my
said
opinion.
Vote for President Trump or whoever. You know?
Well, like, mm-hmm. Paul does that in the Scriptures, right? Like, this is the Lord. This is I, Paul, not the Lord.
Right,
you know, like, giving
that's
kind of
weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we should talk about that one more.
Yeah, in the context of it, that makes sense. Yeah, well, that will be interesting to see how that plays out in the future and then when election season comes back mm-hmm. around. Another thing that's kind of, I mean, tied to that, because I guess social media, that will change too if people can, speak from that.
Yeah. I guess another point of this is for pastors particularly, at what point does the pastor take off the pastor hat? You know, and not
this
represent
is my question
the
in therapy.
I know, like, right? Yeah, I'm like, I don't know, like, because literally, there's not a moment that, yeah, like, when I leave the church building and you leave the church building, that, you know, that we would be somewhere in this community where someone would not recognize mm-hmm. us from a Sunday morning or know, like, oh, you're the guy from there. Mm-hmm. So you're never really off,
yeah,
like. And
well, you
never,
probably feel more and more like that too.
Yeah, the more you're in front of people.
Yeah.
But you're never really, I mean, and it's, we're never really not representing.
That's
because
you make your children call you Pastor Justin.
I make them bow their head.
Christy, our kids call you Mr. Justin, and Christy like corrects them sometimes, but I'm like, no, I love that they call him Mr. Justin.
That's fine. Yeah.
Pastor feels so formal.
Yeah, like, it does. I think when I talk to my kids about you, I refer to you as Pastor James, and they're like, just say James. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like,
that feels almost informal.
PJ.
Yeah.
I've been at a church before where they don't say the first name, they just say Pastor, and that would drive me nuts.
Wow,
they're just like, and then Pastor
would you
said,
be Lady Kelly?
And then Pastor said, Kelly? I'm like, why are they not pastor. Saying his name?
Yeah.
Then Pastor said, then I don't know, it must be a
we got too many pastors, right? I guess. I don't know.
It just doesn't make sense. But it is, you do have to figure that out. Like, at what point, and that is a question here, you know, like, pastors have, and ultimately the church has to kind of help the pastors decide, like, hey, you have liberty.
So that's
here.
A great point. Yeah. I guess something I should say is, like, my approach towards all this has been bathed with counsel internally mm-hmm. and externally. So you and Steve, of course, but also we have a shepherding team that from the deacons help me with, you know, conflict and help mm-hmm. me just as advice, and then other pastors. So it's not like I'm just like, this is what I think I should do. Like, I've really asked.
Yeah.
And there are a few church members mm-hmm. who are like, you need to get up and you need to speak to this, you know,
absolutely.
Amendment number 7 or whatever, you know.
Well, and then too, the pressure of like, of even posting something totally innocent and then someone's like, but what about this?
Yes.
And you're like, I wasn't
more
trying
of my
to
therapy
say,
right here.
Yeah.
More of my
I wasn't divorce. Trying to say, don't care about this group. I was just saying we should care about this group. And when does it end? Never. It lives in our head. It cycles in, and we're just.
I posted something last week, and somebody was like, "You just opened up a can of worms with this one," and I'm like, "No, I didn't." And no one else is commenting, so I don't think I did. So I'm just literally going to ignore this comment.
That's funny. I'm just like, assume the best, y'all.
Well, you have been more active on social media recently.
He's trying to get that Boggy Talk sponsorship.
That's
for
right.
Us.
I'm trying so hard. My kids were actually asking me about this at dinner last week.
Oh, really?
They're like, "What'd you post on Instagram today?" And I was like, "This." And somebody was like, "Why are you doing that?" And Nate was like, "He's trying to get motion." And I'm like, "What does that mean?"
Motion.
And they're like, "Influence," you know, all this stuff. I'm like, I'm like, I already am an influencer.
Yeah, that's right.
Not really on Instagram with my 300 followers, but. Yeah, I don't know what to do with social media. And mm-hmm. it feels a little bit, by and large, that most people who are my friends on Facebook or Twitter, like, they're not friends with James Ross. They're friends with James, the pastor of Church on Bayshore, mm-hmm. who's doing other stuff. So I'm like, but then I do have people who just love me and want to mm-hmm. know how my family's doing, mm-hmm. you know? So, in this church specifically. So I'm like, I'm just going to use this as an outlet and see how it goes. Mm-hmm. And so I just am kind of like following a schedule.
Yeah.
And that way it's not random that I'm saying anything. Also, it protects me from just randomly saying something. Mm-hmm. You know, so if something's burning, a thought's burning, I have to wait till the next Tuesday.
Or you post something and then someone that you had a conversation with like 3 months ago is like, he posted that about me. Like, you're like, no, I just am posting this because it's my rhythm.
I know. I did have
this
to.
This is my content scheduler.
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, I didn't. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, so far it seems good.
That's helpful. Well, I mean, you're using your voice.
I think it's philosophical, too. Like, as a pastor, you're like, this people are on social media. And so, like, you have I'm not super active on it right now, simply because of season of life. It's not because I'm, like, anti-social media. It's like, I don't have time to think about it right now.
That is a little bit of a struggle.
And I don't mean that, like, time to deal
I'm
with it.
I'm only 3 weeks in, so.
The nuance of my, if that was a post, I wasn't saying that you do have more time. I was just saying, like,
that was your blog title about me. Why senior pastors have more time when their executive pastor is burdened down by all the responsibilities he has.
I can't even post on Instagram anymore.
Top 10 reasons.
Ghost written by Steve Renna.
That's right. But it really is just like people are there. And so it is wise to wisely engage. And so figuring in some of how you do that is going to be based off of personality. Like when you share that was, it was no shock to me that James Ross came up with a schedule and a plan of how he was going to post on social media. because that's what that's who you are, and that's great. Right. Like that is helpful, and so I think
that'll leave room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right. You know, like it was. I wasn't like, I can't believe
that's
he.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit Day. Holy Spirit Day is on Saturday. That's right.
So I think like
thank you for tracking with
trying to work in the wisdom of how do I helpfully, and because it can so easily become unhealthy. And that's mm-hmm. not a generational thing. That is an everybody thing.
Yeah.
It can become unhealthy.
It can
so.
Be. Yeah, mm-hmm. I see that for sure.
Well, we had since we had such a break, we did have some questions that came in, and we weren't able to answer them over the summer, so we saved them for now.
Ooh, save rounds. Here we
so,
go.
So, yeah, they're kind of all over the place, but that's good.
Yes.
So we're going to ask the first one. So the first question was, there seems to be a new trend in Southern Baptist churches to allow women to baptize people. What's been the catalyst for this?
So can I give a very short answer, and then we can also do our long answer if we want to.
Yeah,
my very
absolutely.
Short answer is they're finally not allowing tradition to rule over Scripture.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
Makes so sense. Now let's unpack that.
Yeah. But it's always good to
that
have
was
the one-liner.
Tweet.
Yeah.
The,
Oh, for sure. I think, I mean, you're right. Like, the Scriptures don't prescribe who can or can't baptize. I think maybe church history or tradition over time has you know shifted based off of denomination or
right.
practice. And so I would say, you know, that's been a newer thing for us, and it wasn't because it was just more of a thing. It wasn't it wasn't even necessarily like this church's stance. It was just like this is what we've done. And I think that's where a lot of churches are, like we've just done this. We're the pastor only. Well, we were like, well, the pastor isn't only baptizing. And for us, we said, hey, who's the person who led you to Christ? Are they in this church? Like, we want them to be the one who's mm-hmm. baptized mm-hmm. you. And so that has, you know, if that's a woman, great.
Yeah.
Like, it's.
You are bringing up a great point. I think there are churches that think that, and based on church history, that that is a ordinance that is reserved for pastors mm-hmm. to oversee, or sorry, to carry out and do. And so in that case,
right.
we understand why, if you believe that, and then you also believe the role of pastor is reserved for men, that it would only be men, but it would only be men who are pastors, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Baptist churches for a long time, most of them have stepped away from that and have also said deacons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now you're taking liberty with that.
Yeah. Right.
And what I would just suggest is that if you believe that that is only for pastors, then you believe the Great Commission is only for pastors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You cannot faithfully... Sorry, you cannot with integrity say that that part of the Great Commission is for pastors, mm-hmm. but not the go and make disciples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we would say it's the Great Commission's for all of us. So, mm-hmm. yeah, if it's not just ordained people,
then that part as well.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
why are not women? Why are not women? What prevents me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we still have, and how we conduct it here, like we still have pastoral oversight over it because anybody who's being baptized has met with a pastor and talked through some questions. But that's one of the things we say is like, who would you like to baptize you?
Yeah.
Like, and we want it to be this person. And
and
oftentimes it is a pastor because they, you know, for whatever reason. But we're open to that.
Yeah. And if it's ever somebody who's not a member of the church or who we're like, we're not sure about their faith, like there's a conversation that happens with that person just getting sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And, you know, I speak for us. It's not part of some drift of like, oh, we're moving towards. It's just like this is what the Bible gives liberty for. And here we are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just think Southern Baptist churches in general have become less – I just think these are probably things that many Southern Baptist leaders thought for a long time, but just it wasn't worth it. There are a few things that we do as a church that I'm like, that's not my preference to do it. And honestly, we're probably more in line with Scripture if we become a little more open to this, but it would just create such. So anointing oil. Somebody asked me, why don't we use anointing oil on Sunday mornings? And like, honestly, the only reason is it would just create confusion.
Mm-hmm.
People would be like, okay, what's going on? Like, so I agree. Like, it is very scriptural to use oil, you know, but so that's a great example.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of churches were just like, it's not worth explaining.
Yeah.
We're not going in this direction by having women baptized.
Yeah. Really, our desire with the oil thing is to do that through life groups and have branded. That's our first church swag.
Oh, I was like, where's he going?
Is to have church swag. We have
church
branded
swag.
Oil that you can buy.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Just kidding.
I love
forget
our,
t-shirts and hats. We're going with brands
our
and vials of oil.
Our intern Elena was telling us about Aaron Bergener, who's a friend of mine who's pastor at Lakes Church, and he's like, just so you know, I bought this on Amazon. Like, he wants to people to make sure this isn't like some.
Yeah.
What's special is the anointing that's happening, not the oil.
Right.
Oil.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Well, more along.
I can't even say that without almost.
We'll get some oil from the boggy.
There you go.
Down in the bog.
You can just get the boggy water, and there's probably oil in that. Yeah.
We'll just have PT go down there and get it for us.
That's right.
He's not scared.
No.
Oh, man. Well, speaking of baptism, baptism by immersion is a requirement for membership here at this church. So what would you say to those who are not wanting to fulfill a membership process because they have – maybe they were baptized as a child or, you know, sprinkled, and they feel like, okay, I did that. I don't need to do the immersion thing.
I'm not going to give a short answer for that one.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah. You, why don't you answer this one, Kelly?
I am not answering
what would you
any
say
of these questions. Go for it.
What would you say, J-Dub?
Yeah, I would say, quite frankly, this is the – I mean, just –
Would you say it quite frankly, or are you just using that word right now?
To be honest, I would – no. I think this – I mean, this
to
is –
To be honest was the title of your blog.
TBH. That's right.
Like
quite
that.
Frankly, it
was dot,
quite
dot,
frankly.
Dot 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 dot.
Dave honest, dot, and dot, Wyatt's was quite frankly, yeah, but you know,
that's right.
And frankly,
no,
oh wow, oh, and nice. Frankly, okay, she died though, so that's probably
yeah.
not good.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think, I mean, we see in Scripture the baptizo, like it's translated everywhere, like by immersion. So that's what we practice. So I actually have a personal like. So we require that. That's what our church bylaws state. Personally. As a pastor, if someone was baptized as a believer by a different method, I would be personally okay with accepting them in church membership. However, that's not what we practice as a church.
Yeah.
Submit to the bylaws
yeah.
of this church. Mm-hmm. Like that, and so like that's a personal thing that I feel like is not, you know, I get it.
Yeah.
But I would say the first question is, well, if you're baptized as an infant, that was not believer's baptism. So let's talk about believer's baptism. So
right.
that's the first conversation. Mm-hmm. And then if you were baptized as a believer, you know, as a child, but it was by a different form, that so here's what we are saying as a church is like we do believe the Bible's mm-hmm. of the authority. Mm-hmm. And for this church, mm-hmm. this is what we require. And so there's that. I mean, it's
yeah, yeah.
And it's and I get yeah. if that's a hang up. For people, I get
it has been,
and I actually like sympathize with that,
yeah.
and my again, my personal like Justin Wyatt would be like, it's okay because I recognize this,
yeah.
but
yeah.
here's what we're saying as a church,
yeah.
and it really is an identification with the body
right.
of Christ and this body of Christ,
yeah.
So and we don't work, yeah, exactly. So
yeah, so there's several things here. So to be clear, what we teach and believe is that immersion baptism is what we should be doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So with Justin, I would say that if there's somebody who wants to join who was baptized as a child, as an infant, sprinkled, who now says, I do believe what you believe, and if I could go back in time, I would do it different.
Mm-hmm.
I, too, would be okay with them joining. However, that's not the majority opinion of our church, and I am sympathetic to the concern to open it up. In
yeah.
such a way, and not required it. So I'll just say that. I think that someone who says, well, I just believe there's different methods of baptism, that's different. They don't believe what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
so
good point. Good
I know
point.
That may be one issue, but it's one of the issues we've chosen to say are a priority, you know, because there are
yeah.
differing beliefs in our church about different things, but
mm-hmm.
it is one. And the truth is, it could lead other places because
mm-hmm.
where else might they take Scripture and take liberty with Scripture? And you might say, well, a lot of church history and a lot of Christians practice immersion baptism. I understand that, but when you look at the Bible, infant baptism and
mm-hmm.
sprinkle baptism, when you look at the Bible, that was not the case.
Yeah.
When you look at the Didache, which is the earliest
mm-hmm.
church document, they actually talk about sprinkle baptism being a concession when
mm-hmm.
you can't. Baptize.
Okay.
So it was not actually like the practice
yeah.
unless
right.
it had to be. And with that, I'll just pause and say we have actually had two sprinkle baptisms since I've been here
mm-hmm.
with people who are immobilized.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, like it was a
right.
person in a nursing home and someone in our church who just, there's no way they could get
yeah.
into a baptistry.
Mm-hmm.
So say that. So we're not legalistic about it. But yeah, I mean, I think we would just look at a lot of that early church and see that's what they were doing, and it was supposed to be a concession, and somewhere along the line it became something else.
Yeah.
And there's covenant theology, and we don't believe that. And so ultimately, if you adopt covenant theology, then this probably is not the best church for you to be a part of long term. That all being said, you're welcome to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome to participate in a lot of things, but ultimately you won't be in a teaching leading role. So, like, if you're like, James is mad at me that I'm not a member, I don't care. Like, I mean, I care. But if that's the conviction you've arrived at for this season of your life, that you are not there where we're there, you don't need to feel awkward seeing me on Sunday morning. Like, I respect that. I don't want you to do it to appease us. Now, I will just say this, and I appreciate what Jim Owen said, who is a member of our church who was baptized later. He said, when I recognized that Jesus did not have to be baptized by immersion, and he was baptized by immersion to identify with God, I realized, okay, I can do this too.
Yeah.
And so, because he was already saved. He was baptized as a kid. He had been a Christian for a long time.
Yeah.
Why do I need to do this? Well, I'm following Jesus.
Yeah, it's that example. I mean, that would when I say that I'm okay with someone, like, I would definitely have that conversation with people. I'm like, hey, like, I get where you are.
Quite frankly, you would have
quite frankly, I would say those things as well, too, and just be like, hey, this is it that big of a deal? Like, it is not. And to do it now doesn't negate, if you were truly sincere then, it doesn't negate that. It's just, or like, oh, now you've reached some super level of spirituality. It's just saying, hey, I'm identifying with the pattern that Jesus set.
And I think it's another good place for me to say is that we believe that there are Christians who have doctrinal differences. We believe we're right about them, but that our love the Lord and our carrying out their faith in churches who we try to partner with in some levels. And so this isn't like, this isn't a
cutting you off.
A good, bad.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, one more question real fast. This is kind of like with the events, times, things that went on this summer, but John MacArthur passed. So he was a very influential pastor. Had some interesting things that he said.
Very influential pastor. I mean, there's many people in this church who, all of us probably in some way, even if we don't recognize it indirectly, if we are part of a church now, have somehow been influenced by his thought, his theology, his commentary, his teaching, just because it's prolific in you know, Christianity in the past, you know, I don't know how old he was, but I mean, really for a long time. And so, you pay respect to that. I mean, I think personally with John MacArthur, like, especially as he got older, he said some very interesting, if not maybe wrong, things in terms of how he conducted himself and opinions. But that doesn't negate what he's contributed to our faith for sure. And so, you know, I try not to be like, I mean, especially the older he got, I feel like he was just like saying things that were like, what in the world? Where are you coming from with that? But it doesn't negate like his contribution to our faith. And practice,
I mean, the John MacArthur Study Bible. I think a lot of Christians had that. I was somebody encouraged me to buy one.
I had one. Got serious about the word.
You know, and I'm like, okay, he's a Calvinist and a dispensationalist, and I'm not either of those things. But I mean, there was a desire for the Bible, you know, to be taught, and I really appreciate that. And you know, back to what I was saying, there's some differences, but we believe this brother and his church was really committed to the Word.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, he's probably like aware of the stupid stuff he said now.
Like, in heaven, he is.
And we're going to say crazy stuff in our late 70s, 80s. And
I
just
find myself.
We don't have a microphone.
Already
hopefully, we're
like,
not doing Boggy Talk, Ben.
You
got a really funny visual.
Let it fly. Let it fly. Yeah. Goodness. I agree. Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, that is all we have time for today.
That's right.
But, so we're getting back on the schedule. Next week, we'll be talking about As For Me and My House series, which has been wonderful. So can't wait to talk about that. As always, if you have any other questions, feel free to email me, kelly@churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.